ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 4. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. It says this, and what shall I say more about these heroes of the faith? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, also cowardly, and then in the end, what he ended up doing was taking some money and making an ephod, and everybody's worshiping around it. Of Jephthah, of Samson. Now, when you see these words and you begin to realize what he's talking about, is he's talking about people who were burned. They didn't build too well, but their story is manifested to you and me. And your story will be manifested to everybody through eternity. It's not a private session. The Bible says everything that's done in secret is going to be proclaimed on the housetops. What happened to David? We got a running narrative of his nonsense. How does that make you feel? Well, if you're a true-born child of God, you're thinking, praise God, he found out that blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. But we had to find out how he got there. And he didn't live right for the minutes that he was out in his insanity of sin. Samson was a mess the whole time. But when he told Delilah what he needed to do to be losing his strength, he had already thought it through. He had already thought it through. He was cerebral in his faith. But he knew what he believed. And she cut his locks off, and the next thing you know, he was weak like every other man. And they gouged his eyes out and put him at the millstone, plowing, where a donkey would be. And they bring him out to mock him. And what did he do? He showed in his day what faith looked like. He said, God, I got nothing here, but give me strength. And God did. And that's how he made it. Because his faith was declared to be what it was. Now, I don't know what your faith is doing today, but if you put this off until eternity, you might hope nobody's going to know. But everything we're doing right now in our lives, personally, he sees it. And he's going to declare it because your story is going to be like David's story. Your story is going to be like Samson's story. Everybody's going to ask you what made you what you were. Well, I was a mess. God saved me. He changed my life and I loved him. Then I traveled a little bit with him and I'm on fire for God, sold out for God. Next thing you knew, I backslid because I got comfortable. Man, life was good. I got a good job. I got a great wife. I got good kids. We were doing ball games. And then all of a sudden I realized that I've not even been to church for weeks. I don't believe in going to church anymore. That's what I decided. I made up my mind. I'm telling you guys, this is what's going to be declared. And then when it comes down to it, some are going to be saved. So is by fire, because they've been broken so badly. Because they not only left, but they forgot that they were washed from their sins. 2 Peter chapter 1. They didn't add to their faith virtue, knowledge, like Samson. I'm just trying to make the case that when he says a fiery trial, what is that fiery trial all about? Well, if you're living for Jesus, it takes fruit in your life because every day you're making a choice. Remember what it says, if you will. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let it always be. The world sees you as a person who is living in a way that becometh the gospel of Christ. Now you have to answer the question, what's a life look like that is being lived in a way that becometh the gospel of Christ? Does that person go to church? Does that person read the Bible? Does that person pray? Does that person witness? I mean, those are your big ones. Now what? Okay. But if we didn't even get those four, you know, that's something to consider. But he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition or damnation. It says, but to you, it's a token of salvation. What? That you could suffer. And that you would be willing to suffer in spite of the fact that you maybe didn't have to suffer because you could have equivocated. He says, it's to them an evident token of their damnation, but to you it's a token of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now I realize I'm talking at the end of the train. This is America. This is 2022. This is not 1622, when people were being killed still. People were being tortured. Anybody who believed they could read the Bible was just, you know, seen as a heretic, and you could be killed for that. The Tyndales, the Wycliffes, all these people who had a testimony of wanting to get the Bible in the average man's language. We understand that he's telling us that this has been the experience of the church throughout the eons, and yet we live in America. We have freedom. And that freedom of worship is number one. I mean, that's the one top thing, because that was one of the biggest things that never was. And it's been exploited, and it gave way to pluralism, and now it's been watered down and muddied waters, and nobody knows what to believe anymore. There was something to be said for only having like five strains of Christendom, because now it's overwhelming. And that just goes to prove Jesus' point. The strait is the gate that leads to the life, and few there be that find it. Zechariah says two-thirds are going to be cut off in the judgment that comes upon Israel in the end of their days. It says, I will cut off two-thirds of them. He says, but I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. Does that ring something in your mind? He says, trial of our faith is as precious as that of gold that perishes. He says, and I will refine them as silver is refined. Not just gold, but refine them as silver is gold. Try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name then. You never call on Jesus' name more deliberately than when you're in the fire. It's easy to go for weeks without praying when everything's, you know, on cruise control. And I'm in the same boat. I'm not saying you. I'm saying us. We are subject to prosperity, and that makes us tempted in many other ways. The Bible says, warn the rich, because there's a whole lot of temptation associated with wealth. He says, they shall call on my name, Zechariah did. He said, they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, these are just a couple places. You can probably remember in your mind's eye what it says over in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. The Bible says, they departed from the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. That's how the church was born. 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, we are so proud of you guys down there in Thessalonica. He says, listen, we're so proud of you. He says, we're proud of you. We glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Listen, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Why is their suffering a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God? Because Jesus died and he said, I love you. And what is God trying to tell the world? I love you. I want you to come to me. And I didn't withhold my only son. Remember when Paul said we are counted as sheep to the slaughter all day long in Romans? He says, listen, you know, you are called to not only relieve in Philippians, but to suffer. He says it's a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God that you might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. They're going to walk away from your suffering because you're going to handle it in such a way. They're going to say, wow, look at them go. Man, that guy just won't give up. Paul said to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, we'll kill you. Well, that's all right. Die is gain. You couldn't beat it. Don't think it's strange the fiery trial is to try you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. It says, but call to remembrance the former days in which when you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock. There's your connective. Believers are never more on display than when they are being persecuted. How bad is it going to get before Jesus comes? Well, I know this. I know Jesus is not going to pour out his wrath upon his church because he already did at Calvary. But I also know that he's willing for you and me to suffer more and more before the day of the rapture, so more and more people will get on the ark, so more and more people won't have to go through that because God has no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. It's no pleasure. He just has to be just. He has to be righteous. He has to be holy. The Bible says, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, partly whilst you became companions of those that were so used. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, O Joshua, hear this. Thy fellows that sit before thee, they are men wondered at. Gazing stocks. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you go through hard times, they see the evidence of your faith. That's what he's saying. He's saying you need endurance back in chapter 10 of Hebrews. He says, now, you understand? The world's looking for an evidence. He says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's the substrate of everything you believe in. So don't lose your faith. Don't give up. They wanted to leave because maybe Jesus wasn't the high priest. Maybe we missed something. And he says, it's Melchizedek. Knock it off. Get back on track. You need endurance. Okay? It's not Jesus who was the high priest back for Abraham. It was Jesus of the order of Melchizedek. He didn't come from the order of Aaron. He says, listen, he says, you need to remember this. He says, faith is the substance of things you hope for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. I mean, people are looking at your life when they see you living by faith. It says, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. Not from God, but from the people they lived in the midst of. You see, your faith is a dynamic thing God has thrown into this world, and he said, there's something I want people to see. That's why he said back in chapter 2, if they treat you badly and you suffer willingly, he says, this is thankworthy, this is well-pleasing, this is literally grace, this is literally grace. He says, I want them to see grace. And when you suffer willingly, they will see what grace looks like. Because I have allowed you to be upended, you're in a hard place. They're thinking, well, where's your God now? And you're saying, he's right here in my heart. Okay? You're able to take whatever he brings. And their mouths are stopped. And they will glorify God in the day of visitation because of your testimony. Now, I know I'm going cerebral on you. I'm going deep. I'm taking you into the words. I'm taking you into the crevices. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. He's making something out of you. He says, but let every man take heed how he builds upon this foundation. As a master builder I've laid, and Jesus is the cornerstone. He says, let everybody take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day that we're living in shall declare it, because it is revealed by fire. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that is to take you. It is being revealed by fire, and the fire does try every man's work, what sort it is. He says, if any man's work abides, he shall receive a reward. If any man's be burned, he shall suffer loss. Think Samson. Okay, Samson was a guy who really blew it all the way from his time he was told who he was and what he was chosen for to the time that he was pushing those pillars down in the Philistines' arena. And he was a man who suffered loss of his eyes. He lost of his... People think, well, I'm going to go off Taiwan. I'm going to be drunkard. I'm a Christian. I don't even know if I'm even saved. 2 Peter chapter 2. Forgetting even that they were washed from their sins. But in the end, when it comes right down to it, they will grab themselves by God's grace and realize that they truly do believe. And they will live a life at that moment, even if it's an inkling. Now, I'm talking about a person who is sin unto death worthy. Nobody may see it, but God sees it. Now, listen. He's saying some people are going to be saved, yet so is by fire, only in the sense that it's going to be hard all the way from here to home. What does the Bible say? Four seeds, one was scorched by the sun when persecution came. Remember that? Do you think believers, is that a person who gladly received the word of the Lord? Now, you might believe the three are lost. You got the wayside, you got the stony ground, and you got the thorny ground. He says one was choked. You can't choke something that's not alive. And I would suggest to you, we have manifold evidences of people like Jephthah, like Gideon, like David, and like Samson. The day will declare it. If I were to ask you right now, is Samson saved? You can't argue with the fact that he was. If we didn't know that he was written in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, our minds would be, well, I don't know. I mean, he was a mess. How could he be that bad? But we know he was because God says he's one of the heroes. And what's his story going to be? It's manifested. You know every nitty-gritty detail of his sin. You know it. What about Lot? Was he saved? He was going to give his daughters to the Sodomites. Don't do this to these men. Here are my daughters. They've never known a man. The angels reached in and pulled those girls back and the man back and they smote them with blindness. And those people were so enraged and so consumed in their lust, they groped all night for that door. Now, I don't know how gracious your God is, but I'm telling you, the God of the Bible is a gracious God.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.